90 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The defense expected to conclude its case today in former President Trump's criminal hush money trial. Sources familiar with the matter tell ABC that Trump himself is not expected to testify in his own defense. ABC's Erica Tursky has more from outside court.
The defense asked the judge to dismiss the case before it even gets to the jury, arguing that prosecutors failed to prove any criminal intent. There was no immediate ruling from Judge Mershon. And now the defense is going to rest later today.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was on ABC's Good Morning America and said the prosecutor at the International Criminal Court is out to defame Israel by seeking warrants for him and Israel's defense minister over the war with Hamas. The ICC also seeking warrants for Hamas leaders. One person was killed on board a Singapore Airlines flight when it encountered severe turbulence en route from London to Singapore. 18 people are hospitalized. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Immigration is a political issue as far north as Wisconsin. The dairy industry employs more than 6,000 immigrants. Dave Daniels owns a large farm in Kenosha County. He says it's working well.
They're very important to us, and we want to make sure that we have a good way of helping them out, and not only in their job, but also in the community and in society as it is, too.
Daniels speaking with Wisconsin Eye. Memorial Day weekend is the unofficial start of camping season. Campsites at Wisconsin state parks are filling up fast. Spots are reserved as much as 11 months in advance. The Department of Natural Resources says some of the best sites, the most popular parks, are already booked all summer. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. People all across Northeast Wisconsin are looking forward to the NFL Draft 2025. Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich says persons thinking of renting their homes out need to check with their municipalities for permits and inspections that have to be done.
Discover Green Bay actually has done a good job of pointing people to all the individual websites for individual municipalities. We did just hire, within the last 6 months or so, an additional short-term rental inspector, you know, just to make sure that everybody's doing things above board.
The draft will bring more than 250,000 people to Northeast Wisconsin in April. A Menasha Bridge is scheduled to be closed for cleaning and maintenance tomorrow. The Winnebago County Highway Department says Taco Street Bridge in Menasha will be completely closed from 6 a.m. until 4 p.m. while crews perform routine tasks to keep it running smoothly. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
Marlins get away from the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Miami Marlins are in last place in the National League East, but last night they improved after beating the Brewers 3-2 in Miami after 10 innings. Milwaukee's Andrew Monasterio scored first in the fifth with a solo home run shot on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Monasterio, center field, back, Chisholm, it's gone! First hit is a homer. Andrew Monasterio puts the Brewers out in front, and it was a bomb to center.
But the Brewers' bullpen went through seven relievers. That's because starter Joe Ross left the game after just pitching in the first inning. How much did it affect the game?
It affects you a lot when your starter goes one, but he had a lower back strain. He was feeling it a little bit before the game, so we knew about it. But then after he had to go run and back up third, it pulled on him again.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. Ross will go on the injury list. The two teams play again tonight. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Showers and thunderstorms are likely this afternoon into this evening, and a couple of those could be strong to severe with hail, straight-line wind gusts, and even a tornado or two possible. There could also be some heavy rain with a half inch to an inch or more possible by the time it all winds down late tonight. High today 71. Be weather aware today. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
Mino and the Mayor.
Dave Elson.
Mayor Schmidt used to have this green jacket that said Mayor Schmidt and used to run the CellCom Marathon training run. And I don't know, he was talking to someone. I don't know how that could happen. And he wasn't paying attention and there was a car coming and he's about to go into traffic. And I reached my arm out in front, right in his chest, and I stopped him. I said, Mayor Schmidt, some people think that jacket's Target.
Weekday mornings, 6 until 9, on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, 10:33, the award-winning Civic Media's own Terry Barr. 11 o'clock hour, we learn all about the Honor Flight and how you can get involved. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with Sandy Williams. And if you think you're on the wrong channel, Sandy, you're playing all of these different Amazing Grace songs.
Yeah, that was the Soweto Gospel Choir that South Africa. I think Paul Simon introduced them to the United States. But, looking for more grace.
So you're playing these songs because?
Yeah, because I think one thing we all need is more grace. I think going into this election time and whatever happens after the election, we're going to all have to reach out for and find more grace, civility, respect.
Before we go to the phone line, Sandy, you and I have been around for a while. We've seen contentious presidential elections. But this one.
Yeah.
I don't recall in my lifetime any to compare with the emotions that this one.
Well, we're going to find out, but I think we better strap on our protective equipment because I think it's going to be a very difficult campaign period, very negative. And we've had trouble focusing on issues. I think we can talk about Biden's brand. I think Biden's brand has been much more attached to issues. And I think Trump's brand has been far more attached to sort of negative circumstances or at least trying to describe to the public a negative circumstance that will get fixed in uncertain and undescribed ways by the candidate.
Let's do this. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. Thank you for waiting. You say what?
Well, I want to talk about the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room, and this is how I see Donald Trump, is I see him as a narcissistic white supremacist. And I think that the majority of the white people in the United States are all afraid that with all these immigrants and people from all the country, that they're going to lose control. And you see this in how they talk about women and going back to the 1950s and the abortion problem and so on and so forth. And this is my take on all this. As long as he plays to that caliber of person, he is going to get their vote. They don't care about how well the country is doing, what Biden has done for this country. and it doesn't matter to them. They're just afraid. And I'll tell you, not too long ago, I took a test. I went to one of the universities, and I won't tell you which one, but they wanted to see where your mindset was. And the computer would tell you your mindset. They would tell you if you were white, if you were Hispanic, and what age group you fell into. And the computer identified me really, and I said they were absolutely right, and I'm a middle-aged black man.
So there you go. All right. Susan, thank you very much, as always. And listen, we've got women on the line, and I'm thankful for that, because it appears that men don't want to have the conversation, but at the root of all of this, I think, you know, those who are supporting Donald Trump, you know, a lot of men, and so a lot of white men. And so, you know, the fact that they're not calling, but women are, I think that says something. Let's go to Lynn from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Lynn. You say what?
Thank you for taking my call, Earl. I just have a question. I brought it up on one of your other shows that the Republicans are attacking Social Security and Medicare. And when I say that, Senator Ron Johnson has called Social Security a Ponzi scheme.
Right.
And yeah, and he would like to have it voted on annually, reclassify Social Security to have it voted on annually. He'd like to turn Medicare into a voucher system. Am I correct that generally that is how the Republicans think about Social Security and Medicare, that the American people are not due what they've paid into the system?
Well, many of them refer to them as those things as handouts. And what I've never been able to understand is why, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, Social Security and Medicare is a key lifeline to you know, the aging population of this nation. And for those of us who either have not had a job or have not been astute enough with our money that we were able to save it, enough of it, and put it where it should be, that it could work for us, and you know, Social Security could be, you know, something that is an add-on and not a lifeline. Yeah, I think it's safe to say that even though you hear people, conservative people who think that, you know, that's a handout, it's much more than that. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, no, I mean, I think, again, that now we're into hard policy and talking about actual policies. I think that what I'm interested in is the underlying symbolism and what it is that someone represents. I think Mary came closer to talking about that issue when she talked about the elephant in the room, because I do fear that there is that elephant in the room that's part of the symbolism. And I'd be interested in people, the evaluation by the people who are both attracted as well as those repelled by each of the candidates and their symbolism.
You know, Lynn, thank you very much for the call. I think Susan, you know, uncovered some things, and she said some things that, you know, are kind of, you know, unsaid in all of this.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was it Susan?
Okay. Yeah, Susan.
Yeah.
And so she really said some things that probably at the root of a lot of it is those things.
Well, I fear it is. I mean, like I said, I think when you're highly emotionally involved in some fashion that in which the discussion isn't at a civil plane, but rather is at a loud argumentative plane, we've obviously struck emotional chords, which is something that happens with symbolism. And so then my question is, okay, what are these emotional chords? What are the things that seem to matter at that level? And I think that's one of the important things for us to evaluate.
All right, let's go to Jean from Eau Claire. Good morning to you, Jean. You say what?
Great show. My favorite song, Amazing Grace. Thank you so much. Favorite song in the whole world. I love this emotional chord and symbolism, but I think, too, is we need some concrete type things, and that is we have seen Joe Biden almost my entire life. Joe Biden has gone to work every single day for the people. I have never seen him lie to people. I've never seen him try to take money for himself. I never seen him worry about Joe Biden. And I've seen Donald Trump, and I've seen Donald Trump poke fun of people who have disabilities. I've seen him rile up crowds live. I've watched him live. I've also watched him stand and lie to the people about him losing the election and getting the crowd together. I watched him order people to go down or they're going to lose their country. I've seen Donald Trump and people who worked with him not wanting to be bothered in the mornings with anything. He did not want to read reports, and people who work for him said, you just have the bare necessity because he gets mad and he doesn't read things. I saw Donald Trump live with NATO and pushing people out of the way, other world leaders, shoving them, going after women and picking on women leaders. I'll tell you one thing. I don't need a symbol. That is the man. That is the man. I saw people who I used to respect, Republicans, kowtowing, kissing his feet, and that is a symbol. But, oh, he's the greatest thing. Oh, you're the greatest thing. Just after they ran down their wives and their families and lied about him, and they're still saying, oh, Donald's the greatest president, but please pick me as vice president. People, wake up. This isn't a movie. This is real life. These people are responsible for everything in your life, one way or another. Either they care about you or they don't give a you know what. That's my position, and that's my symbolism and concrete things that we need to think about. Thank you so much, guys. This is so important. I've never seen anything like it in my entire life.
I'm glad you picked feet to be the things that they were kissing, because there's some choices to be made there.
You know, she pointed out some things that you somehow may have forgotten. And, I remember Donald Trump, as she talked about walking through, pushing leaders out of the way. Hey, get out of the way. I'm Donald Trump. You know, I mean, just some things about him that you almost forget. And so we've seen that, right?
Yeah, and I guess part of my ulterior motive for describing this as a symbolism is to cause people to try to evaluate the facts, the actual facts, and weigh them against whatever this emotional attraction is that is this sort of visceral attraction to symbols rather than an intellectual attraction to issues, and to sort between those two things. And I think it's going to be very important for this in this election for people to move from visceral into factual.
All right, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
Listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin. And over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, for people who are just joining us, why are we having this conversation?
Well, we're talking about not the extent to which in elections, and in particularly in this election, we end up with people who seem to be symbolic. They represent in some manner of symbolism to people something that evokes visceral reactions. That's what symbols do. It's a visceral reaction, not an intellectual reaction. And what is it? What is it that is the attraction, or what is it that repels people about the symbols that are these two candidates? And I guess my hope is that as we talk about it more, we'll move from visceral into intellectual, into facts, because I think it's the visceral side that is the one that's reactive and potentially a problem. One of the things that when we were off the air, you were reading a piece that talked about, and I read the same piece yesterday that reminded me that Donald Trump has been in the news for 10 years. Really, 2015 was the beginning, right, when he started running for office and found a way to be controversial every day. And that has persisted for 10 years. So we've gotten that inured to this process. And that surprised me.
The amazing thing is, out of all the phone calls we've had today, and we opened the door and the phone lines to both sides, those folk who support Donald Trump, kind of amazing they haven't called and explained the reasons and rationale for why they support him. And I think that's telling. I really do. I think that's telling. Let's go to Sharkey from Racine. Hey, good morning to you, Sharkey. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for the programming. I have to tell you, though, while I sit here at my breakfast table, I'm going to have to wear a biker's helmet, because when I hear some of these things, I'm just hitting for the ceiling, and I don't want to hit the ceiling fan. And it's this morning, and I'm so happy for you guys and the people are listening to get this message. But I also have to send out to Aggie Dawn. She's doing another nice product on her program, and I'm listening to you guys. And I'm sitting in here thinking about Robert Mueller as a former law enforcement. I admired that man. What disgusts me here is I'm saying now, let's open it all away. The Mueller report, open it completely, as best as completely can be, of the Mueller investigation, and go after the guy that has been the fixer since Mr. Kennedy. And between there and the current former president, it's disgusting. I'm rabidly mad all the time. and I'm trying to keep my emotions under control because I'm looking at this and looking at this and looking at this. But I can't tell you how much more I appreciate what you guys bring to the table.
Hey, Sharky, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, the thing that bothers me the most about the outcome of this election is the real damage that's going to be done either on one side or the other. Damage is going to be done, and let's say Donald Trump wins. There are going to be people in this country who are going to be so frustrated and turned off by this government and by their fellow countrymen. How could you allow this to happen? Because the 4 years that he'll get, that he won't do anything to change in policy, to change anything. I think it was Gene who said, you know, they said he didn't read anything. They would try to bring to him every morning the staff, these important issues, global issues and economic issues. And he would, hey, get out of here with that.
Well, that's, I think, because he self-described the fact that he trusted his own overabundant gut. He didn't call it overabundant, but he said he trusted his gut, which worried me because I think the job is way too big for any single intellect, particularly one that might be limited by not being willing to take advice or otherwise receive extraneous information from third parties. So, I think the more we could all focus on facts, the more we could all maybe make a decision which is fact-based about who it is that's elected, and we might all be able to have a fact-based reaction to the outcome at the time that the election actually has occurred. And I think the problem with respect to a Trump victory is that other than the 2025 report that has been put out, which was a third party trying to create a conservative government plan, there's been very little in the way of information provided by Trump, the candidate, as to what it is that he will do. He's talked about, to some audiences, about cutting taxes even more in spite of the big deficits we have, some of which were caused by his prior tax reduction. He talks to some audiences about the deficit and what a problem it is and how he's going to solve that. He talks to some audiences about government intrusions. And on the other hand, he talks to some audiences about expanding the way in which government might enforce various things against the individual's right to choose.
Here's what I don't understand, Sandy, is, you know, we talked about the Trump brand. Let's talk about the Biden brand. And so if you look at what Joe Biden has done and what he has, promised to do if he's reelected, and that's to do everything within his power to make sure that the average American is not forgotten, and the average American who struggles, we're not going to forget you. We're going to do all we can to help you and lift you up out of the issues and the problems that you face on a daily basis.
Well,
that's who he is. That's what he's talking about.
Well, that is what he's talked about. The question is, what do people visualize in terms of, or what do they viscerally feel is the brand of Biden? And, you know, I think that's where maybe his campaign has some work to do. I think they have to create a clearer image for people that is that same kind of visceral reaction. As much as I would like it all to be an appeal to intellect, I think what's happened is that we have a battle of symbols, a battle of brands that has been, the table has been set for that.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump's popularity is slipping among most voter groups in Wisconsin. That's according to the Journal Sentinel's analysis of 4 years of polling data. It shows Trump has lost some Republicans and rural men, but now he's doing better with voters of color and rural women. Groups like suburban women, college graduates, and young voters view Trump even more dimly now than they did 4 years ago. So far, no bird flu in Wisconsin dairy cows, even though the virus is infecting herds in other parts of the country. Johns Hopkins University's Megan Davis recommends sticking with pasteurized dairy products.
Raw milk and raw milk products may not undergo the same processes to inactivate the virus.
The U.S. Agriculture Department is paying affected dairy farms to help contain the virus. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The official start of summer, as far as recreation and travel is concerned, is Memorial Day weekend. And the Wisconsin Department of Transportation and the Wisconsin State Patrol Click It or Ticket campaign is officially underway now. Law enforcement agencies and departments throughout the state will increase patrols and encourage motorists to wear their seatbelts. Click It or Ticket will run through June 2nd. State law requires all drivers and passengers to wear a seatbelt when traveling in Wisconsin. A couple of brave bystanders saved two people from sinking in a car that was submerging into a retention pond behind some apartments in Bellevue. Brown County Sheriff's officials say the car went into the pond just after 7:15 Sunday night. Two people who lived nearby jumped into the water and helped the people inside the car get to safety. Deputies and firefighters say no one else was in the car, which was recovered from the retention pond Monday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If I have one opinion on Hollywood, is that it needs more Jesse Plemons. The actor will star opposite Emma Stone in Yorgos Lanthimos' new film, Begonia, a sci-fi comedy script which has been purchased by Focus Features and Universal. Lanthimos' last film, Poor Things, was nominated for Best Picture and won Stone a Best Actress Oscar. Plemons can be seen in this summer's Civil War. A release for the film is down the road. Cameras will start rolling this July. What's the best way to sell tequila? Take off your pants and play croquet. At least if your last name is McConaughey. Matthew and Camilla McConaughey have created a series of ads where they perform various pantless activities, hoping it will help sell their organic self-made tequila, pantalones. Pantalones in Spanish means pants, or the less sexy trousers. McConaughey says the point of the ads is to not take life too seriously. For what it's worth, if you ever get caught without pants, tequila is not a bad excuse. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Showers and thunderstorms are likely this afternoon into this evening, and a couple of those could be strong to severe with hail, straight-line wind gusts, and even a tornado or two possible. There could also be some heavy rain with a half inch to an inch or more possible by the time it all winds down late tonight. High today 71. Be weather aware today. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on Air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, my guests are Civic Media's Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, and producer John Davies. Join me for part two of our interview from last week.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And again, Sandy, for those who are just joining us, while we playing the music.
Well, this was going to turn into Amazing Grace, it will, at the end, at the next turn. I just thought that the song was kind of evocative of what we all need, which is more grace.
Okay, so Sandy, so Joe Biden, who's, no stranger, been around the political scene for 60 years. We know, basically, those of us who are political animals. I remember Joe Biden when I was a young man. And Joe Biden as a strong, well-spoken, articulate battler in Congress, right? You knew exactly who and what Joe Biden was and what he was going to stand up for, and he fought the battles over those decades. So he's still that guy.
Well, I think he is, but I think in this context of the campaign, the people who support Biden would like to create a brand or a symbol for Biden that is that guy. I think the people who are opposed to him would like to paint him with the symbolism of being the figurehead for the liberal elite left establishment, the leftist, the woke. I think woke is gone to sleep a little bit in the political movement and has moved into some other issues, some of them ephemeral, like this kind of Eastern elite. But it's also they're painting him, I think, with campus unrest and the notion that he must represent something like what it is they don't like about Harvard and Columbia and Penn and the Eastern elite establishment schools like that. When you listen to the people who want to talk about the campaign and the issues, they tend not to talk about issues as much as they like to use code words, elite being a primary one, to paint the opposition. And I think it plays into this whole sense of antagonism towards the current situation. If you feel afraid of your circumstance, or if you are angry about your circumstance, then the Republican Party wants to attract you.
You know, Sandy, if you and look at Joe Biden, and we're talking about his brand and what he stands for, and let me kind of retract something I said a couple seconds ago. Joe Biden is still that guy he was when he was younger. Like, he's not exactly, because he can't be that guy that he was and be president of the United States. He has to be able to see things, and a president can't see things through one prism. And so when you look at Joe Biden, he's in a conundrum. He has to support Israel. He has to support Israel at the same time that he was supporting Israel unilaterally. He was watching part of his base say, hey, you're not listening to us. So he's caught between this rock and a hard place. If I stay solely with what's going on and support Israel totally, I'm going to lose all of these younger people who I need to get reelected. And he starts straddling the fence.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the incumbency provides a lot of advantages. It also has some disadvantages in that you've got to stake out positions, particularly in difficult times and in difficult situations. And you'll notice that the opposition, the Republican Party, are not speaking much about Israel, other than to just be critical of the president generally. They're not speaking about what it is they would be doing in his stead.
No, they'll never do that. Let's go to Malik from Racine. Hey, good morning to you, Malik. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, Malik. How you doing, sir?
Yeah, you got to turn down your radio.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir.
No, I was calling because I was listening to the show,
And the one thing that I'll say is that, you know, we can, you know, maybe have difference of opinions on with regards to, you know, political views and whatnot, but it is 100% evident that, you know, there was no 40 beheaded babies, yet Joe Biden, he spewed that nonsense even after Israel admitted that that was false. Even the White House went back and claimed that it was false, but Joe Biden never took ownership to that. And then just recently, a few days ago, at a graduation commencement speech, he re-mentioned that, you know, there was an Israeli woman and her child. They were tied up by Palestinian women and a child. Like, he was, again, regurgitating falsehoods and just trying to incite violence. And with this violence, we had a child just get murdered because of that in America. So that's why for us, young people, even Palestinians, we can see through the politricks. I think Joe Biden, the only reason why he's had a successful career is because he's the number one politrickster. He knows how to play the game far better than other people. The one thing that I did want to mention, and
let me ask you this. But the other option is Donald Trump.
And that's what's even scarier is that if you look at the Republican nominees prior, when they had the opportunities to vote somebody else in, they were all number one politricksters too. Whether it was Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramchek, he was supposed to be the black horse, right. But he was again. They're all polytricksters. You look at who's getting paid by the AIPAC, they're all getting paid. Even Donald Trump got $1 million. That's why for me as a young person, morally, I can't vote for somebody that's, you know, one, inciting violence against Americans. Two, when American journalist Shireen Abu Akleh was murdered by Israel, he didn't say anything because, again, he's on the payroll. He's a polytrickster. And, you know, if we're going to be honest about it, we just have to say, okay, look, yeah, maybe we're voting for Cornel West. A third party is going to take away votes from Joe Biden. But you know what? We got to start looking at a local government. We got to start, you know, voting in some of the, you know, smaller parties into these smaller positions. We have a guy named Chester Todd out of Racine. He's running for Congress here, District 1. So that, you know, again, he'll probably be the only, if possible, very long shot, but if possible to be in Congress, he'd be the one out of 535, so he can kind of swing things, you know, one way or the other. He wouldn't be basically a bought paid agent. But with Joe Biden, it's, you know, yeah, it's unfortunate that we only have two options and it's bad and worse. And for me personally, regardless, you know, somebody that advocates and allows for murder and genocide is far worse than somebody that did sexual assault, unfortunately. And that's what's unfortunate about what's going on with our government. Is that's the two options that we have. That's how at least young people are looking at it.
Well, Malik, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, I will say to you and the audience that Malik represents a strong segment of young people in this country that feel that way. And you clearly heard him state that, that, you know, that he can't see a way that they can vote for Joe Biden, even in the face of knowing what Donald Trump is. And that's the dilemma that the Democratic Party, I don't know how they fix that.
Well, you know, I think Malik does represent a particular point of view. And I think that there are a fair number of young people who are, for a variety of reasons, some of them being the same as his reasoning and others just having other reasons, who are disaffected in the same manner. And I think disaffection is a big problem. And I think it's particularly a big problem when parties decide to run candidates who are 80 years old, you know, who are
right,
far from the same generation, who speak essentially a different language and think in a different vernacular. But, I don't know. I think that ultimately people need to analyze the facts and decide who would be better. I mean, I think Donald Trump has made clear what his position with respect to Palestine and Israel would be, and his position would be catastrophic for right, the Palestinians. And whether Joe Biden has participated in aid to Israel, which has resulted in some bad outcomes, or whether his rhetoric has been what it has been, I still think that if you were going to choose simply on that issue, you'd have to come down with the lesser of the two evils, because voting for Cornel West is simply a protest vote.
All right, let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. both of you said something earlier regarding what would be if Trump gets in office, the damage that's been done. But see, the damage has been done ever since 2015 through the media. The media has been bought, and they are the ones who keep putting his face and his name out here to the point where they won't let us not think about him. And they brainwashed a whole lot of people, the Rupert Murdochs and all these people who support him. Basically, they're the biggest problem we have right now, because for the last, 10 years or more, all we hear every day is Trump, Trump, Trump. To hell with Trump. He's a crook. He's a thief. He is an idiot. And he's not mentally sane. And if they put him back in office, I'm moving to Canada. I'm sorry. I'm gone. Peace.
All right, Al. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. Your thoughts?
Good morning, gentlemen. The other caller who is, and Sandy brought this, mentioned it after I had called in. So I just want to reiterate. Yes, Trump said that he would have Netanyahu finish the job. So if you're faced with a Biden who is trying to do what he can, I mean, Biden, yes, is playing both sides, but he really doesn't have much of a choice. Trump would go in there and just Gaza would be gone. And who knows how many hundreds of thousands of people would now be dead if Trump takes over. I'm also very sick of the Republicans now who are crying that Biden held up that arms shipment when they are the ones who held up funding for how many months? 6 months or more on holding up payment to Ukraine and to Israel for all of this. And now they were fine with holding up that money, but now that something else happened, now Biden's the bad guy. And again, like Al said, our media is playing favorites. They do not, they do very little reporting on things like that. You know, you don't hear anything about the Republicans holding up money anymore. They're the ones who are responsible for this. They are the ones who are responsible for Ukraine and all of the countless lives that are getting lost there because they didn't want to give them money because they're pro-Putin. And, you know, Trump and Putin are friends. And the Republican Party is doing what they can to make or allow Putin to win. And we're going to be in World War III if Trump gets in, because he won't care, because only Trump will profit from all this and the rest of us will suffer.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789. Sandy, you know, we're going to continue the conversation on the other side.
I thought of a literary allegory, a comparison when the caller was talking about Rupert Murdoch having created Trump. I think Frankenstein created a monster, and I think maybe Rupert Murdoch might have some Frankenstein in him.
All right. Sure. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Jeff Levering and wife Ashley love their patio door from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
It's so bright, it's so clear. I can see the kids outside playing, and it makes it comfortable for the life we live.
I love the roll screen. The fact that the screen is on the inside and no drafts, it's a game changer.
Right now, get 0% interest free financing for up to 48 months when you order by May 31st. Set your free in-home consultation at PaloWI.com.
Certain restrictions apply. That's 531-2024.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, Sandy, in a matter of a few months, we'll be able to see, you know, the Republican convention in all its, shall I say, glory.
Well, it's going to be, it's going to be interesting. Yes.
Yeah. And so Donald Trump will be here in person, live and in living color. And we'll be able to see him. You know, I've had a chance to see him up close and personal. I've gone to one of his rallies and was really just blown away just by the pomp of it and the fact that people who were, just enthralled with this guy. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Hey, good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
I'm glad you're talking about the convention coming up. People have to be made aware of, and I'm forming a coalition of people who are doing this as we speak, that we cannot allow a lawless president to be representing our country. He did not believe in a peaceful transfer of power. He's got a record longer than any convicted felon I've ever heard of, between sexual assaults and felonies. We cannot tolerate this for America, and America will not tolerate it. All these massage polls, all these, he's by 6%. Yeah, if he's by 6%, it's still almost too close to call. But you yourself, Earl, had a wonderful point a couple weeks back. Let's tell the country what Joe Biden has done in the last 4 years. Or 3 years, excuse me. It's incredible.
Well, so we've done those things, Bill. And yet, you know, we can't be unmindful of the fact that this thing is still too close to call.
Well, and, you know, what's interesting is there still are shoes to fall, right? I mean, I just had a notice the Trump lawyers rested the defense case in New York, so it's going to the jury next week. He wasn't called to testify, so there will be a verdict in that case. It'll probably be under appeal, but there'll be that to look at. You know, there are various people out there whispering and talking about it. It's incredible, not probably likely that but candidate other than Biden actually being nominated, that's, I think, a pipe dream for those who want it to happen, and not likely. But there are still plenty of events to occur between now and the election date. And so there'll be more information to sift through before people actually have to pull the voting lever.
And I just don't know how much more I can, be honest with you, stomach. To constantly see, you know, Trump on the nightly news. I think that some of the news outlets, I think MSNBC is ridiculous with 24-hour coverage on Donald Trump and the trial. who cares?
Yeah.
Right?
I think from this point forward, I would simply urge everyone listening and everyone else to constantly ask the question, why is that, when someone makes an assertion to them, whether it be in support of either candidate. And let's get down to details. Let's get down to facts. And let's avoid looking at it as an attack on the opposing candidate. Let's look at it in support of the particular candidate you're going to vote for, and what it is they're going to do, and what it is that is positive about electing them. And I think if people go at it in that fashion, the outcome of the election is going to be much more predictable.
But so when people like Mitt Romney then comes up and says, if I were Joe Biden, I would have pardoned Donald Trump immediately.
Well, to be honest with you, I think an argument can be made for the proposition that could have potentially been a strategy to pursue, and it could have been maybe a thing to avoid testing the American system in the manner that it's now going to be tested. So, I think you can flip a coin on whether that was a good idea or not.
You know, I don't think that was, who would it have been up to? That's a state case, well, not a federal
case. He can't be pardoned out of the state cases, Georgia and New York. He could be pardoned out of the federal cases. And I don't think Romney's a lawyer. I don't think he realized that pardoning Trump from the federal, the alleged federal crimes wasn't going to save him from trials.
Do you think that the American people think it's a good idea that we say for political reasons, we're gonna, you know.
Well, it happened once. Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon to spare the nation the problems that would have occurred from he didn't pardon Nixon, saying that Nixon wasn't guilty. He didn't pardon Nixon and absolve him of fault. He simply pardoned him and said that he was doing it to spare the nation the problems.
Right, but that, you know, Nixon was the president of the United States. Ford, after Nixon resigned, Ford became the president. I can understand that. But I can't understand a Democratic president in this instance saying to his competition, a former president, that, you know, I'm going to, let's say if he could have done that, I don't think that Democrats would have supported Joe Biden in that endeavor.
They well might not have. I'm just simply saying that I can understand someone like Mitt Romney making the suggestion, talking about it. There were Democrats who were actually talking about it a couple of years ago as being a potential strategy that would spare the nation and might actually put Biden on the high road. It is true that accepting a pardon has been determined by some courts as being essentially an admission that the pardon was necessary because the crime was committed.
All right. As Sandy Williams, thank you, Sandy, and thank you always, and all of you, the listening audience, for chiming in. Thank you, Calvin. Up next, Jane Matinere, Matinere on Air, and Greg Bott. You've been tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Albaugh.
Everybody join us next time as our friend and colleague Luke Mathers joins us for a Tuesday Tangent with Lukester. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Mino and the Mayor.
Dan Van Lannen, Hobart Lawrence Police.
Man, I went to the Ostoff. It's a Saturday night, and I'm checking everything out, and I look, and there's Jimmy. And Jimmy's got this ice cream cone. Not a lot of cone, but a lot of ice cream, right, Jimmy? That thing was monstrous. Where's the guy get that?
Do you have a picture?
I did say that.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9, on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always.